The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 28. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen, may the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle is from Romans chapter 7. "Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, and if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord." The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Although the man attended church faithfully, he never participated in the Lord's Supper. After several years, he surprised the pastor by coming forward to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. After the service, the pastor asked the man what had moved him to receive the Lord's Supper on that particular Sunday. "Well, pastor," he said, "every week I try to live my life as best I can. I kept trying for the perfect week so that I could be worthy to go to the Lord's table. But something always happens. I do something wrong or say something that I should have not said. But this week I didn't do anything wrong. This week I was worthy to go." What a disappointing and wrong understanding of the Lord's Supper and the Christian life as a whole. This man who struggled so hard to be sinless did not understand that Christ Jesus had already won for him the forgiveness of all of his sins. There are too many times when Christians think that they are able to make themselves worthy before God. That's nothing more than a theology of glory. Man taking credit for his or her salvation. The only one who makes us worthy before God is Christ Jesus, our Savior. He has done that through his suffering, death, and resurrection for all of our sins. This morning, as we consider the gospel lesson from Matthew 10, we address the theme, Christ Jesus gives us his worthiness. My fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. Our first point is that Christ Jesus is worthy of conflict. Jesus is sometimes referred to as the Prince of Peace, but in our text, he speaks about a sword which will cause division. He says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." The Word of God has a way of dividing and separating people and showing where they really stand, where their heart is, if you will. In the book of Hebrews, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." What we as Christians today find ourselves engaged in is a real spiritual battle. It is the light of Christ which is doing battle against the darkness of sin and the devil. St. Paul put it this way, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." My friends, that is the battle that we are engaged in until the day we die or when Jesus returns, whichever comes first. Conflict and divisions do arise within families over the gospel itself. Jesus says, "For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household." Jesus is pointing out that these divisions can and will come because of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Are people going to follow the Savior Jesus or not? Family is important to every one of us here. But it cannot be more important than our baptism into Christ Jesus. Family is temporal, while faith in Christ Jesus is focused upon eternity in heaven. General Norman Schwarzkopf said, and I quote, "The truth of the matter is that you always know the right thing to do. The hard part is doing it. The devil and our own flesh always are challenging us in that regard. Suffering conflict for the sake of Christ Jesus may be necessary. God's word says that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Yet we know we fail at that daily. But as we confess our sins, we find comfort in the very words of Jesus, 'Be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you.' Christ Jesus gives us his worthiness. In that regard, Jesus alone is worthy of being first," which is our second point. Jesus speaks to worthiness in our text. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it." God expects that he be of first importance in our lives. But you and I both know how we have failed in that regard. But Jesus did not fail, but overcame. His Father was first in his life. Jesus goes to the cross, carrying all of our sins, saddled down by our utter unworthiness. He defeats sin. He defeats the devil. He defeats death. He pays for all sin. He dies and rises again on the third day. And yes, your sins are forgiven. Paul pictures it this way, speaking of Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. All of your sins and failures are paid for. And in your baptism, you and I were made new creations. I think one of the best biblical examples of someone who loved God more than his own son would have been Abraham, who was willing to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, whom they had waited forever and ever to have. You know, there's a powerful gospel message running underneath all of that story. For it is Isaac who asks of his father, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" To which Abraham replies, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." God not only provided that lamb, but also the lamb of his son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And we were clothed in the merits and the righteousness and the worthiness of Jesus in our baptism. Empowered and forgiven in him, we are enabled to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Bearing the cross of Jesus encompasses being willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that cross comes to us naturally. We don't have to go seeking it. Cross bearing will come in our country and here in Iowa because of the homosexual agenda. Marriages of men to men and women to women are wrong. The homosexual agenda will attack the church, which strives to be faithful to the Word of God. Sad to say, and this is sad, some churches have already sold God's word out on that very issue. Should we expect anything less than persecution when we live in a nation that is 55% unchurched? The church will endure, as will God's word, but we will face struggles. In Revelation 12:11, it says, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death." Our Lutheran hymnody reflects our Christ-centered theology. Nicholas L. von Zinzendorf wrote, "Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Lord, I believe your precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God pleads for the captive's liberty, was also shed in love for me. When from the dust of death I rise, to claim my mansion in the skies, this then shall be my only plea. Christ Jesus lived and died for me." And then as we sing in the liturgy of our church, words taken from Scripture. "Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are his. Thanks be to God that we have been given his worthiness. In Jesus' name, amen."